Listen to this hit right here.
Oh, man.
Am I playing the hits?
Man, you are playing the hits. Man, I appreciate that.
I'm DJ Request, baby.
DJ Request. That's dope. That's dope.
And it's cool to watch his reaction when he heard the first notes.
Oh, man. You know, it ain't nothing like it. Music comes from nowhere. If you think about that, music, where do you go to find music? It's all in your head. And I got a chance to work with some great young producers that are like 25, 26. The guy that wrote this, his name is Casey. He was actually an artist. And you know how hard it is for people to give up their, this is my baby.
This was his baby he gave to you and Chris Brown?
He gave, not only that, but most of the album. The guy's a savant. I said, man, any way I can help you, just the fact that you gave me your private style. Because with me, I'm so eager to do music, but I had to learn, too, that people see me as like, okay, you already have enough. So
why
a lot of times,
yeah,
a lot of times I can't get records from like bigger producers because, man, come on, man.
He got enough.
You got to ask.
I actually had an argument with a producer about that. I was trying to get this record from him. He played it at my studio because of some girls in it, so he wanted to play his private. Oh, man, I thank you for that. He said, nah, that's mine. And the argument ensued, and finally he said, man, you can't have it all, dog. I said, you don't act, you don't sing. And I was like, oh. And my boy Brian was like, yeah, man, a lot of times I go through that trying to get records for you because people view you as like, okay, you already got too much.
But they don't know your story, do they know your
They story? Don't, but it, and I understand. I'm always humble, too. I never come in heavy
handed. What is the story?
Well, the story is that I went to college on a classical piano scholarship from Texas, in San Diego. My college was like 81 different countries, all connected by music. My grandmother wanted me to do, so music was my thing. But at that time, to do a demo, you know, at that time, you had to have 10 grand to do a real demo and a live musician. I had it. So I just went on stage and started doing jokes. So things sort of started.
Oh, that's how you got into
comedy.
Yeah, because I was always funny. And a guy named Harvey Fuqua, bless him. Yeah. Harvey Fuqua was Harvey in the Moon Glows back in the day.
That's right.
I met him when I was 18 years old. My uncle knew him in L.A. And he said, boy, they say you sing. He said, I used to handle this guy. He said, you may know him. Harvey had this group, Harvey and the Moonglows. He said it wasn't going anywhere, but a guy that was singing backup, his name was Marvin Gaye. And he made him faint. Of course, we know the story of that. And so that's how I got on the music tip. But then Harvey said, noticed that I was going to do comedy clubs. He said, you funny? I said, man, I'm funny. He said, okay, I'm going to see. And he called the Regency West and Mike Williams. Became the Comedy Act Theater. He said, we're going to see if you're funny or not. And I went down to the Regency West. And the first night I'm there, I'm sitting at the table with all these pretty girls. I'm like, what's up? I got a curl. But I could only maintain the edges because I didn't have enough money. So I just, you know, dipped the edges. I just go get dipped.
It was all cool to up there.
I had
like,
a hat.
I love these broke stars.
I had a hat on, you know, but I had the edges flowing. I got the barge edges. But Kunta Kinte front. So I'm trying to talk to these girls at the table, but they was like, anyway, so they won't hear me. And then Mike Williams called me in the back, and he said, you see what he doing on stage? I said, he telling jokes, because Robin Harris had went on stage.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
And I was just, my God, this guy's incredible. But I'm young. I ain't really knowing the bigness
of the hierarchy and everything.
I don't know. I'm just there. I'm like, Mike Williams, you see what he doing? I said, he telling jokes. Right? No, he kicking it. He kicking. That's what you got to do in this class. I said, all right, whatever. Robin Harris brings me on stage like this. All right, next comes to the stage. You ain't never seen this. He ain't on TV. He never going to be on TV. Matter of fact, he ain't even got no TV. No, I take it back. He got a little TV with the mouth working on it. That's all you can see. With a extension cord running all the way to the grocery store. All right, give it up. Good friend of mine. Oh, come on, MF. That's how he brought me on stage.
Leave it all your day.
But I went on stage. Did an impersonation of him. I said, give it up for Robin Harris. I knew he was kind of upset because I called in early to get my spot. And he answered, hey, who the hell is this? Got a standing ovation. Came back to the table. The girls were like, how come you ain't telling us two girl jokes? Man, they love funny.
And I like your edges.
I like your edges. But that's how I got in. So music.
You got into comedy trying to make enough money to make a demo.
Exactly. Because I would do music in my comedy, and I got roasted for doing that because I was breaking the comedy rule. So I had to learn quickly to.
What's the comedy rule about?
Well, the comedy rule at that time.
Just be a comic, and then
just be a comic. Don't go up there and do vaudeville.
Sing, and it's like they sing and all that. Yeah,
and it was a cheat. And so what I learned was, and I'm glad I learned this because I remember getting I remember D.L. Hughley, Buddy Lewis.
Joe Torre.
I'm walking up to Maverick's Frat.
Yes.
And Nate, that said, he would come right now. Now, mind you, we just now meeting each other for the first time. I said, what's up, man? How you? Hi, guys. I'm texting. Hey, man, what's going on?
Country.
That's what they call me. Hey, man, what's going on up in here? How was that? Man, what's going on? Buddy Lewis, man, what's going on is, man, that we feel that the comedy you doing, man, it's not real comedy. You singing, that whole thing, that's cool, but that ain't. And they really roasted me. So that night, I went up with no singing and did my jokes. And had a great response and came off. And I remember DL going and saying, hey, man, I'm going to be honest with you. I commend you for what you did to try to get better. And at that time, we were gunslingers, right. But at the same time, there was that camaraderie. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know,
there was no camaraderie until you proved yourself as a comedian.
Exactly.
Until they saw that you could do something. They wouldn't speak to you. I mean, that's how I got.
And don't let you bomb. Yeah. I bombed at the townhouse.
Oh my God.
I bombed at the townhouse, and I remember nobody talked to me. DL was the only one that was like,
because they don't
want to
catch that.
Because you don't want to catch that. You don't want to catch that bomb on you.
It's like a disease.
You don't want to catch that bomb. You walk through the, get past it. Listen, no, he's got the play.
AJ Johnson was the only one to talk to me. That was only because he wanted to flash me. Remember AJ?
He flashed you with what?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he had to. Yeah.
So is that where Jamie Foxx was born, where the name?
Yeah, because I was I would go on stage as Eric Bishop, which is my real name, and then I couldn't get on because there was comedians running the list at the Comedy Store, which I didn't know anything about Maverick Flat and all that when I first got to L.A. So I couldn't get on, and so I said, how come I can't get on? But I had a great show, got a standing ovation, couldn't get on for 6 weeks. So I went to the Improv in Santa Monica, and I noticed that it was only a few girls that would come down to the thing. So it'd be 100 guys, 3 girls. Those 3 girls always got a spot. But the guy picked from a list. He didn't see the faces. So I wrote down these unisex names. Tracy Green, Stacey Brown, Jamie Foxx. And he picked Jamie Foxx that night.
Oh, wow. Went on, thinking he was getting a girl.
Yeah, and I went on, and that's how things jumped off. But I always wanted to get back to the music. And then I got on The Living Color. I'm playing Wanda on Living Color. Hey, Pharrell, dog. And I had just started doing it. People didn't really know who the character was. I just done it. But Teddy Riley and Guy had came to perform at In Living Color. I'm like, oh, man, I got to get my cassette tape to them so they can hear my music. You know what I'm saying? But at that time, I just put the dress on to go do the Wanda thing, and they say, Teddy getting ready to leave. I said, no, he can't, man. So I go grab my cassette. I'm barreling down the hallway. Fake titties, size 90 pumps, and I'm cut. You know what I'm saying? I'm in my 20s. I'm cut up. You know what I'm saying? I'm like really cut. So I'm running. He looks back with his bodyguard, and the bodyguard step in front like, who is this dude? Because they haven't seen the character. And I said, Teddy, my name is Jamie Foxx, and I do music. He looked at me and said, impossible.
With that deep voice. With
he said, impossible. And I said, hey, look at me. He says, impossible. Yep, yep. And then he took off.
Yep, yep.
And I said, man, it's going to be a minute before I can get back to the music. And I didn't get back into the music. I built a studio in my house once I got on. I always had a studio there. And I would do parties for musical people, like Puff. Mm-hmm. I did a party for Puff. In 2000, it was Puff and Missy was hot. And at that time, in my Jay-Z was standing on the wall. Nobody knew who that was. And standing in my garage that I turned into like this little recreation area, it was a small guy and a tall guy. I said, who y'all, man? And the dude was going, man, it's like this all the time, Jay. It's girls and stuff. I said, yeah, man, who y'all? We the Neptunes. My name is Pharrell. I said, yeah,
wow.
And so after doing that, a young guy, Breon Prescott, brought into my house. He had a backpack on. Jaw was a little swollen. His name was Kanye West.
Wow.
And we always perform in my house. Everybody got performing. I said, what you do, man? You perform? Let me hear it. He rapped. It was amazing. This is before Kanye was Kanye. He said, but I got a song for you. And he said, the song goes like this. She say she wants some Marvin Gaye, some Luther Vandross. And that's how everything started. And that's how I got into the music.
That's your little known Black History fact.
Wow. That's great, man.
I had another Black History fact.
No, you don't need
That's it. We celebrate Black History every day on the TJMS. And you just got your Black History fact
from the archives.
Yeah. From Jamie Foxx on how he became from Eric Bishop to Jamie Foxx, and now
into some music.
And back to the music.